Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to be with you on this Thursday as we make the turn for home to the weekend. Game 4 of the NBA Finals is tonight. Last night in the Stanley Cup Final, the Blackhawks in the fourth consecutive one-goal game. This time they're the ones that won it 2-1. Pittsburgh's Brandon Saad scored the game winner in the third period. Series tied at 2 with Game 5 coming up in Tampa Saturday night. Game 4 of the NBA Finals tonight. Cleveland and Golden State. Kevin, again, refusing to watch.
No, I might actually tune in for the fourth quarter.
The fourth quarter?
Basketball in June is tough for me.
June.
Yeah, June basketball, there's something wrong.
Something wrong?
Yeah. Yeah, there's just something wrong with it. I mean, for me, basketball season ended in March and April.
Okay.
The NBA season is entirely too long.
All right, well, let's ask this question then. Okay. For you, what's right? Be a shorter show, I would think.
Yeah, it probably would be, yeah.
So what is right?
Like, wait, to you, what part of right do you mean?
Well, to you, what is right with the sports world?
The football season is probably the right length of time. I could probably go another, till the end of February. I think that would be good. I think it starts perfectly. Have no problem with that. The basketball NBA season is entirely too long. Listen, when you have an NHL season that extends into a month, that even where they play hockey naturally, the ice would melt if it were outside, it's entirely too long.
Well, but again, I've already pointed out the reason behind that.
I understand that.
It will not be on television on over the air. And remember, 19% of the country doesn't have cable. ESPN, as an example, reaches 81% of the homes in the country. 81%. That's the deepest cable saturation there is for any network in the country. So NBC is not an ABC. Neither one is going to carry over the air anything in the month of May.
No, that's true.
That's sweeps month. It's not going to happen.
And you know how I feel about the baseball season. The baseball season is way too long. I think it starts at the right time, but it's got to end in September. And I think it would be better for, honestly, I believe for the viewing of the game, I think it would be better if baseball ended in early September, right after Labor Day. Now, take out all the variables of the TV and the game schedule the way it is. Take all that out. Just look at it from just the game itself. Should baseball be played in October and November? And anybody that watched the last World Series the Phillies were in would realize that there's no way that baseball should be played at that time of year. When you have to have flaps on your hat to stay warm, you shouldn't be playing baseball.
What do they put Chase Utley's number on it?
Now, I don't care whose number's on it. I don't care whose name's on it. I'm just saying, in a perfect world where television didn't matter and you didn't need to have 162 games to be able to make money and all that. In a perfect world, baseball would end right around Labor Day weekend or a little bit after. I wonder what the viewing numbers are like prior to the NFL season starting and after the NFL season starts for baseball. I'll bet you it's a significant drop, especially on Sundays.
IndyCar season probably should be just one weekend.
IndyCar has the perfect idea when it comes to a season. They started in late March. They're going to end it by Labor Day weekend. That's intelligent to me. The NASCAR season's ridiculous. February to November? I have too short of an attention span to be able to go watch it from February to November. So that's the sports world in my perfect sports world.
You're also the guy that says August is the best month of the year.
Well, May's pretty darn good, though.
Hey, you're the one that says August is the best month of the year. They don't call it the dog days of August for nothing.
Now, see that? I get excited in August because that's when everything starts to build up for me. That's when my season starts again. After a six-month break, my season gets going again in August. So that's why I like August.
You know, you're not going to do a single game in August.
No, I'm not going to do a single game in August. But I like to, that's my month. That's about that time is when I start getting information. You know, you talk about it all the time. You've already prepped the entire football and basketball season.
Yes, I have.
In August, that's when I start prepping for the football season because there's no information until August, really. And even then, it's kind of sparse. But that's when I really start to get into it. So that's why I like August. That's the start of my season there. For the next 6-7 months, I'm in my happy place.
I understand that. Now, that part I understand. The part I don't understand is the part where you say it's the anticipation of that's why it's your favorite. I sit back and I say,
well, everybody's optimistic in August.
Yeah, but you're not doing any games in August.
No, but everybody's optimistic in August. Everybody's team has a shot in August.
I could care less about that. It's like the nuts and bolts. The game actually gets going. I mean, I know. Look, this show is a perfect example of you talk about it, build up to it, then when it's done, you review it and the whole thing. I mean, that's, you know, the show's not on during the course of the game. And the show's on 3 to 5 every day. So we talk about, well, coming up tonight will be the NBA Finals, what adjustments need to be made, and so forth. It used to be you talked about adjustments in the NBA Final. Now it's, what's LeBron's big motivational secret? I don't care.
How many points is LeBron going to have tonight?
Okay. I don't care. What are the adjustments that are going to be made? It used to be Pat Riley, Casey Jones. What adjustments are they making game to game? You know, they've got the best players on the planet together. What adjustments are they making? And we talk about that. And we talk about the baseball season and, you know, what's going right with the team, wrong with the team. Penn State football, the anticipation of it, explaining how the numbers work out, where they are positionally, what's the offensive line like. Yeah, we do all of that stuff. But there's nothing like the actual game. And the optimism and everything like that, to me, it just... I get to the point in August where I'm like, come on, let's go. I mean, I want to get there where I'm sitting in the stadium and the ball is actually in the air off someone's foot.
Well, that's a great moment, too. But think about it. In the NHL right now, we're playing hockey. And it won't be because now it's back in Tampa, which the ice would melt there any time of the year you played hockey. But in Chicago, if you played outside in Chicago, there'd be no ice. There shouldn't be hockey in June.
Yeah, but you know, look, they can't do what they're doing financially unless they have a TV contract. That's just a fact of life. And the fact of life is they're not going to put the NHL on any network over the air. in the month of May. They're not going to do it. Just like they're not putting the NBA in the month of May over the air. May is sweeps month. If November, February, and May were not the critical months sweeps-wise, right, it changes what you're seeing. The Super Bowl is played in February now. The Super Bowl used to be January 15th or in that area.
Right.
It's been as early as January 9th. Well, why is the Super Bowl now the first Sunday in February? Because February is sweeps month. That's why. So the Super Bowl is in the month that they need to have it in for TV, just like the Stanley Cup Final and the NBA Finals happen to be out of the month of May because they don't want them in sweeps month. I mean, that's all it comes down to. The bottom line is more people are watching the NHL than ever before. I mean, on cable the other night, the NHL beat the Indianapolis 500. On cable.
NBC Sports, they didn't do it at the same time. You mean numbers-wise?
Numbers-wise.
Right, okay.
I mean, beat them. I mean, on cable, on NBC Sportsnet, not on ESPN. NBC Sportsnet now is the second most watched cable sports network in the country.
Yeah, that surprised me.
I mean, there are only two that average over a million viewers a night. ESPN, which is easily number one, and NBC Sportsnet, which gets more viewers per night than ESPN, too. And the NBA Finals are racking up huge numbers, gigantic numbers. It's like a 13-6 the other night. They'll go over 14 tonight. I mean, the more LeBron's legend grows, the more, you know, it's a perfect storm for the NBA to have him in the final and almost be doing it as a one-man band. It's more of a storyline for the casual fan as opposed to he's wearing the black hat, he's with Dwayne Wade, he's with Chris Bosh. Look, it's a made-for-championship team, blah, 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 you know. And yeah, it did well in the ratings. But for example, they got 10 threes last year against the Spurs. Well, this is a 13-6. Millions more are watching. Millions more. They've got the perfect storm, the perfect scenario for this. So even though it doesn't fit your model of perfect sports,
you know,
You like August. Nothing's going on in August.
Well, you know, there is football going on now. You do know that, right?
ESPN just signed a multi-year deal with the CFL.
That is outstanding.
They are going to broadcast more. I think they're going to go from 20 to 29 games. And it doesn't cost ESPN really any money to do this, except for the rights fee.
No, they're what? They're simulcasting TSN up in Canada,
yeah,
aren't they?
Right, but ESPN does own 20% of TSN, so there is an ownership. But they're just rebroadcasting the TSN feed.
All you have to do is make sure you get the feed and plug it in.
Yeah, it's a win-win for them. Yeah, well, you got to change some graphics here and there, but it's a win-win for them to do it this way, and for the Canadian Football League, great.
You know, I don't think people realize that have never watched Canadian football, Steve. Sorry to interrupt you there, but there are a lot of players that you'll be familiar with if you watched college football, because there are a lot of guys that go play in Canadian football that are American.
Well, there've been a lot that have come down here.
That's exactly right.
Joe Theismann, Cameron Wake, Dieter Brock.
Probably one of the most successful, Doug Flutie. He was more successful in Canadian football than in the NFL, but yeah, still had some
Warren
time.
Warren Moon, there's a great example. Warren Moon and Doug Flutie each won 5 Grey Cups. So it's, yeah, I mean, for ESPN, and look, ESPN, you can tell what they're doing. They're throwing a lot in, all in on football. They're all in on football. They're all in on the NBA. They're all in on college basketball, except for the tournament. I mean, that's where they're throwing their lot. Everything else is filler. They're not really all in on baseball. Baseball just fills three nights a week in the summer. You know, they're not really into the playoffs or anything like that. They're getting outbid. You know, they got outbid on the British Open. They got outbid in the World Cup. They got outbid in the Olympics. They got, you know, I mean, they're getting outbid in a lot of things. Should be pointed out, though, remember, they are part of the Disney Corporation. And I'll give you an example of that. Tomorrowland, the George Clooney movie.
Right.
Which is a Disney production. They're saying that that could be a $140 million loss.
Really? That was reviewed quite highly.
No, he's going to it.
So, in other words, people would rather see a fake disaster movie than go see a fake futuristic movie.
Well, I mean, it just depends on what you want to see. I mean,
I wouldn't mind seeing it. I mean, I did see San Andreas first, I will be honest, but...
But they're saying it is a potential $140 million loss. I'm not sure what goes into that. But that's what they're saying that Tomorrowland could end up being. So, and you believe me, ESPN's the single most profitable arm at Disney. They've got to make up for that.
No worries. Frozen 2 is in the works.
Well, you know, like I said, notice the contracts ESPN has not been getting. Go back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Nothing. None. Zilch.
That's what you'll pay this summer to drive a brand new Kia from Sunbury Motors Kia. That's right, you can own a brand new in-stock Kia and pay nothing for the summer. That's 0% APR for up to 66 months. And Kia will pay your first 3 months. Sunbury Motors Kia has a great selection of 2015 Kia Optimas, Optima Hybrids, Fortes, and the award-winning Sedona Van. Take that summer vacation. Do those outdoor summer repairs and pay nothing for the summer on your new Kia. It's worry-free driving. No payments. And Kia's 10-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty. And this just in. Kia is now offering 0% APR financing for up to 66 months, plus $500 bonus cash for qualified buyers on 2015 sold. Summertime and the driving is easy with the help of Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip in Hummel's Wharf and at sunburymotors.com.
0% APR financing, all qualified customers who came as restrictions apply. See dealer for details.
The coal never bothered me anyway. Okay, let's see. Welcome back. I don't know what that was. Our apologies to the audience.
It's bum music.
For what?
Well, we were talking about Disney and ESPN.
The George Clooney hyped film, after the bomb of Monuments Men, is going to lose between $120 and $140 million. It is the worst performing movie ever at Disney. The Lone Ranger lost $120 million. John Carter lost $109 million. Now, Tomorrowland does have a worldwide gross of $171 million, but the problem is this. It cost them $350 million to produce and market. They think they're going to lose about $140 million from that movie. Jupiter Ascending and Seventh Son are also bombing big this year as well. Ross and Sen on the MLB Draft next.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, great to have you with us. And we went through an opening half hour of pure fantasy sports the way Kevin would love it. Kind of fit with the Tomorrowland theme. And just like Tomorrowland, a $140 million flop.
It bombed. It bombed.
All right. The Major League Baseball draft is over. 3 days worth of drafting finished. 40 rounds worth of drafting. 40 rounds of less and less optimism for Kevin and the Phillies. But we do bring in Ross Insana from MLB.com. Ross, welcome to the show. It's great to have you with us.
Great, Steve. I mean, it seems like it's been a while since I've caught up with you, so I really appreciate you having me on.
It's great to hear your voice, Ross. This was not a deep draft, but there are certain areas, for example, in the first couple of rounds, you could do pretty well. There was a big-time run on college shortstops, and the last college shortstop that was a first-round pick that actually went there into the majors as a shortstop is Troy Tulowitzki. What was your thought on what we saw on the run of college shortstops?
I mean, it's exactly what, like you said. It was the deepest position in the draft this year. Dansby Swanson going first overall to the Arizona Diamondbacks. Brandon Rogers, the prep shortstop, going to the Colorado Rockies. Troy Tulowitzki's current team right now. And, you know, the Pirates getting what some may say is the most polished bat in the entire draft at 19 overall with Kevin Newman from Arizona.
Right.
Newman, you're probably well aware of the Cape Cod League and what the Cape Cod League does for
advanced
college players. Mm-hmm. And it's a league where guys can play with wood bats. You know, in college they play with the metal. In the Cape Cod League, this shows their true colors, how they can hit with the wood. And Kevin Newman is the only guy in Cape Cod League history to win back-to-back batting titles. That has to say a lot for Pirate fans and what Kevin Newman can do in this organization going forward.
Yeah, I've been to several Cape Cod League games during the course of my lifetime, and it's impressive to see some of the top college players, and it's a big adjustment for them, but it's also a big adjustment for pitchers, Ross, because for the first time in their lives, they actually get to pitch inside. They actually try to, and that's where you find out how good a hitter is, because now for the first time they're being pitched inside as opposed to being pitched on the outer half of the plate.
And that takes adjustments too. I mean, that's, you know, even going from my own experiences, it's, you know, even with the wood bat, to draw a parallel from what I just said, that's, you know, with the aluminum bat, you can just, you know, fight it off your hands. You know, it'll sting a little bit on your run to first base, or if you end up squeaking out a base hit, you know, it'll go away. But, you know, with the wood bat, you know, if you don't get it on that part of the grain, that bat's going to bust. You're not going to get anything. And, it's, you know, hey, kid, get used to it. This is what life's going to be like in the minors, and if you're lucky enough to make it to the majors. So that's it's a really, really big eye-opening experience, like you said.
What were some of the thoughts on the Phillies' first-round pick? They picked in the number 10 spot in this draft. They, too, went with another shortstop, and they already have Crawford in the organization. So one would think that this pick here is not going to end up playing shortstop.
Well, I actually want to direct towards, funny enough, you know, I know people don't like comparisons being made between, you know, a Philadelphia and a Pittsburgh sports team, but the Phillies' second-round pick, Scott Kingery,
yeah,
who is a teammate and double play tandem of Kevin Newman at Arizona. Kingery was arguably the best hitter in college baseball this year in terms of average. So that might be a guy to look, you know, forward to more for Phillies fans, more than Randolph, the guy that they took first overall. Randolph might have been a little bit of a reach at number 10 overall, but I think, you know, as advanced as Kingery's bat is, he could possibly move up the system quicker than they would expect. And, you know, it all's up to Ruben Amaro Jr. if he's even still there. Now, that might be a little blip, you know, in my conversation here, but he could move up through the system pretty quickly depending on what the future holds for Chase Utley, because as we can tell, you know, his performance this year, Utley really doesn't have that many, you know, good years left ahead of him. So they might see a lot in Kingery taking him, you know, in the second round, and, you know, he could be up in 2 years, maybe.
Overall, I mean, this is a very hard thing to evaluate because it takes so long for some of these guys to get there. Just based on paper right away in the first five rounds, Ross, which teams do you think may have done a couple things that you sat back and, well, it's going to be interesting to see how they develop?
as in teams that I think that
drafted probably, well,
that had, you know, an A plus draft.
Right.
It's hard not to pick the Houston Astros.
Yeah.
They were the first team in draft history to have two of the first five picks, and Jeff Luhnow, their GM, he is the mastermind behind the modern St. Louis Cardinals, and he was their scouting director. He got the Lance Lynns of the world, the Matt Carpenters of the world. Colby Rasmus is with the Astros right now, but Jeff Luhnow was the brainchild behind building, you know, this dominant Cardinals machine that's going on right now. And he's the GM of the Astros. And as we can tell, look at how the Astros are doing this year. And they took another one of those college shortstops, and Alex Bregman with the second overall pick from LSU. Bregman, another one of those advanced college backs. And then they took, you know, funny enough, their left fielder right now, Preston Tucker for the Astros, they took his brother Kyle Tucker with the fifth overall pick. And Tucker is supposed to be, you know, another good bat in the outfield. And, you know, it goes down the line. They took Mike Cameron's son, Daz Cameron, in the compensation round, and keep going and going and going. It just seems like Jeff Luhnow knows the path that he's on. Like, when he came in, that it was just scorched earth for that franchise. And, you know, maybe people think that Neil Huntington tore everything down when he became Pirates GM in 06. Luhnow did even more. Like, he went, you know, below the bedrock, if you could do that. He just tore that franchise up, and look at the fruits of his labor right now. They're one of the best teams in baseball this year. Can they sustain it? I don't know, but Luhnow is building through the draft, and he has a history of, you know, having guys pan out, a lot of guys pan out.
The State College Spikes, of course, are here, which means it's the St. Louis Cardinals. I know they went high school first round, so, I mean, that's a player that's not coming here. What did you see in what the Cardinals did, since you referenced them several times in the Astros answer?
Well, there's not really any players that stuck out to me off the top of my head.
Yeah.
But as you just said, and, you know, in my reference, you know, John Mozeliak in his front office, you know, it seems like nothing can go wrong with them, especially this year, having Matt Adams go out, Wainwright go down, and, you know, maybe Matt Holliday going down for the near future. And it's just next man up mentality. That's been the mantra for Cardinals teams the past few years. Maybe Stephen Piscotty could be coming up, in the next week or two. And I pretty much say that no matter who the Cardinals are going to pick, their player development is, you know, second to none. They might be the best run franchise when it comes to player development in all of professional sports. I might be saying too much, but it just seems like everything they touches turns to gold. And, you know, who knows what's going to happen with these guys. I mean, Matt Carpenter was a late round pick,
right,
and he's one of the best players in baseball right now, one of the best overall hitters in baseball. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, he was an 11th round pick. You know, you just never know. It's just baseball more than any other sport, as you said, guys take a while to go through the system, but you just never know how guys are going to pan out. And the Cardinals are one example where, you know, they just do a phenomenal job of, you know, drafting guys and, you know, bringing them up into the major leagues.
Aiken was the first overall pick a year ago, did not sign with Houston, went back into the draft. Cleveland took him 17th overall, but he's coming off Tommy John in March. You know, he's only 18 years of age, because I think he was only 17 a year ago at this time. So I think he's only 18 years of age now. What was your thought seeing him go, and the fact that he had Tommy John back in March?
I mean, that was an unfortunate situation for Aiken. You know, taken first overall by the Astros, and they were going to give him, you know, regular first overall pick money. And then they found out his medical history. They offered him a contract. They found out his medical history. And then they offered him a second contract that was significantly less than what they offered him originally. And then, you know, Aiken and his camp, they're just like, no way, we don't want this money. And that's, you know, we shouldn't be, you know, affected by this. And that's, you know, especially a kid that young, like you referenced, and with that much talent, it's, you know, an unfortunate situation that he got placed in, but in terms of where he got taken this year, I'm honestly, that was where he was projected to go because of, you know, granted, people say that the success rate for Tommy guys with Tommy John surgery and when they come back is, you know, pretty high. They end up, some say that guys end up doing better than they were before, which is, you know, harder to believe that when you replace a ligament in your shoulder or elbow, that a brand new ligament from somewhere else in your body, that you end up panning out better. But there's been recent history of teams taking a risk on guys that have just, you know, gotten Tommy John surgery. Lucas Giolito in the national system. He was going to be the first overall pick in his draft class, but he ended up falling, I think, the 10 or 11 overall to the Nationals a few years ago, and he's arguably the best pitching prospect in baseball right now. So Aiken does have, you know, the high ceiling, and, you know, look at the Indians, how they're doing this year. They're building a strikeout machine rotation, and you just never know with these guys, but I'm honestly not surprised that Aiken fell that low. But, you know, if the Indians get the talent that was evident in last year's draft, a first overall talent, it's the steal of the draft.
Ross in Santa, MLB.com. Ross, thanks so much. Appreciate the time. Kevin feels no love at all for the Phillies' first pick. I can tell.
You would be correct.
And you have done absolutely no research on him at all.
Nope. But if the Phillies drafted him, then he must be awful.
And with that, we take a break on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Doing a lot of research trying to find out what is LeBron's big secret. I came up with two words that summed up my search. Who cares? It is very important. I will say this, though. It is, regardless of what it is, it is very important to me for young people. And I don't care, as you go along and develop your life, develop your career, to find mentors that, or not just mentors, but people who have been around the block. There may not be a mentor in your field, but they have some information in general in life, and to pick brains along the line. Find out, you know, not just what makes them tick, but what's worked for them, what hasn't worked for them. I don't care whether it's as simple as, hey, what's worked for you when you bought a house? What's worked for you when you've done investments? In something like this, in what we do. The number of long talks I had with Jim Tarman, for example, about how intercollegiate athletics works. Long talks I had with Joe Paterno about how intercollegiate athletics, how football works. I'm talking about the nuts and bolts of how it works. When you hear me ask certain questions to certain individuals, take, for example, Jim Delaney, when we had Jim Delaney on 2 weeks ago, a lot of those questions I asked were influenced by a lot of long talks that I've had with people over time about the nuts and bolts of a TV contract, the nuts and bolts of being in a conference. You know, and I mean, and there was a long list of items. You know, the student athlete and stipends and things like that, where you've sat down and not just sat in a press conference, like you talk to people and get more out of it. And you know, this has helped, for example, the Cleveland Cavaliers, where LeBron James has been down this road. Sean Marion, Jones, Mike Miller, they've all been down. Those four players have been down this road before. Little things such as, my first time through, how do I handle tickets? My first time through, what's the media going to be like? Oh, it's going to be exponentially greater than anything you've ever seen. That's how you need to handle it. Little things such as that. What's interesting is that Greg Norman,
And it appears as though we've lost our connection to the Sunbury Motors studio here momentarily. We'll try to regain that connection in a moment and see if we could get Steve to continue on with that thought. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. And I believe we have Steve back with us again.
He picks so many brains along the way to do this.
Steve, where we lost you a little bit when you start when you were talking about Greg Norman.
I picked it up.
Okay, sorry.
So I actually picked it up in the same sentence. That along the way, he picked Jack Nicklaus's brain about conducting oneself. He picked Seve Ballesteros' brain on golf. He helped Seve Ballesteros driving the golf ball. Ballesteros helped him exponentially with the short game. Nicklaus on business enterprises. Ray Floyd on business enterprises. When he's talked to presidents, for example, he's golfed with many presidents, that he's, around the golf, he's kind of picked their brain about a couple of things. And what's interesting is that now we're going to bring it from a megastar of this generation, LeBron James, and how the younger players can pick his brain on how to...
That appears...
People don't realize...
Oh, there he is again. Lost you again there, bud. Sorry.
You having a thunderstorm there? What are you doing?
I don't think so, but all of a sudden... the connection to the Sunbury Motors studio disappears. And for once, it's not me. At least I don't think it is, anyway. I think we are working here on the connection to get Steve back. If not, we'll get him to finish his thought here in a few moments or after the news here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.